Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Hey, we've got a great show for you today. We're going to be taking a look at Wisconsin's wildlife and nature with our outdoor writers, Pat Durkin, Dean Bortz, and Tim Isley joining us today. It's great to have them with us, and we'll be talking with them in just a minute. But you know what's going on right now, don't you? It's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Your support, it's really an essential piece of the funding for all the programs that you enjoy on WPR. In fact, listener support's the largest source of funding for our WPR programs. This drive, it's your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give. How do you do that? You go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552. And joining me, Heather Reese, Director of Wisconsin Public Media. We haven't worked together before, have we?
We have not.
Well, it's great to have you in the studio.
Well, it's an honor to be here with you, Larry. This is quite an adventure for me.
Well, it'll be an adventure for me, too, because I'm just looking here and all my notes, the page two of my notes is gone. So,
all right. Well, good.
It's only the second day of the drive, but I tell you what, though, we've been doing pretty well, haven't we? I think we had nine people last
hour. We had many donors. So thank you to everyone who gave. And I do think our goal this hour is to get 15 gifts by noon. And this goal will make sure that we'll be in a good position to pay Larry for the Larry Mueller show for months to come. So that's really important.
Well, let's meet that goal. It happens one gift at a time. And why don't we start with yours? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And the listeners out there today, you are powerful because people who listen provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
You know, your contribution, what does it do? It keeps independent public service radio on the air, not only for you, but for your community as well. So I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do give. It feels good to know that you're part of making something special happen.
So make your first ever gift of, say, $10, $20 a month and enjoy the excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio. Starts with your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Today, donate any amount and you could win a $1,000 gift card to Wheel and Sprocket. Buy a new bike, add a trailer for your kids or cargo, or get your hands on some of the latest cycling gear. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Bike Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Heather Reese. And I have to tell you that we're not eligible to receive that $1,000, you and I.
We are not.
Everybody else is. But what about you as you're listening in? Your support during this drive makes the programs you rely on possible. Your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
That's right. And giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount. Maybe, say, start with $10 a month.
And that donation comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Great, yeah, and when we have quite a few minutes left in this hour, maybe not quite 50 minutes, and we're looking for 15 more people to join in. So your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
And you can ask for your WPR glass tumbler when you make a gift of $12 a month or more in support of WPR programs. It's an elegant glass, I'm told, and it'll be a daily reminder of how much you value WPR. So ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, 888-202-2552.
Oh, Ed and McFarland said something nice.
He did. Let me share that with you. It says, "I love Larry, and it brings me happiness to help keep such great programming going strong." Well, thank you, Ed. We love Larry, too.
Oh, Ed, thanks a lot for that. WPR, here we are. We're listener-supported, and that means your gift is really powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Heather will be back to join me in a little while. But right now, I want to turn my attention to the outdoor writers for our roundtable discussion about Wisconsin wildlife and nature. Pat Durkin, freelance writer, editor, and president of Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Association. Pat, welcome.
Thanks, Laurie. Glad to have you back. Glad to be back on here, I should say.
Well, it's great to have you with us. Dean Bortz, editor of Wisconsin Outdoor News. Dean, welcome back.
Hey, Larry. Hey, everyone else that's here today, too.
And Tim Isley, freelance outdoor writer and private landowner in Crawford County. Tim's one of the original founding members of the Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Association. He's with me in the studio. Tim, good to see you.
Morning, Larry. Great to be here and wonderful to join my other fellow outdoor writers on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, you're a great trio, that's for sure. And as you listen to them, I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. What wildlife issues are on your mind? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Well, let's talk hunting first. Turkey season here in Wisconsin. And Tim, you were telling me before the show you were out and had some good fortune.
Well, we did. I was out with another friend, Paul Smith, last week over at our property in Crawford County, beautiful Crawford County. Mm-hmm. And Wednesday, the weather was just terrible. We had rain and we had wind. And it's one of those things, you know, when you're turkey hunting, there's nothing you can do about that. But you're out there, and finally on Thursday, things eased up a little bit, and Paul was fortunate to get a bird around 10 o'clock, and later on, one in the afternoon, I had this big tail fan and this red and white head as this bird is coming towards me in the decoy and worked its way around and was fortunate to get a nice gobbler. But it was great to be outdoors, you know, to be out in the spring, to hear the birds, the songbirds, and to hear turkeys gobble and see them strut. It's all about the experience and having a quality experience. That's what it's all about.
Dean Bortz, do you want to admit to anything about turkey hunting?
Boy, you know how many times people have asked me to admit to something, and my response generally has been to deny, deny, and deny again. But, I'll just say that I experienced, so I'm up in Zone 7, and right on I live almost on the line of Oneida and Vilas counties, and we still have snow on the ground. So, I've hunted in snow in past years. It's usually not been a problem, but this year the circumstances or conditions are just different enough to where it was, this is the first time in a long time I did not bag a turkey in Zone 7, and, the snow was either, it was crunchy. It was just melt during the day, thaw during the day, and then freeze overnight. So you try to move in on a turkey in the morning, it was almost impossible.
Yeah.
We had to stay so far away or try to get so close that it just nothing worked out. But so my season ended yesterday. I was out this morning with a friend trying to help him out. And we had a great time this morning, a lot of activity. But again, a bird that we didn't hear last night was closer to us this morning than the one that we did here last night. When we set up, we were right under the first gobbler that didn't say a peep last night. And, we're too close. I tried everything to get that bird to not think we were any kind of danger, but it didn't work.
Oh, man. Well, Pat, I might as well ask you, how did you do?
I took a little girl out, a 12-year-old girl, for the youth season last weekend, almost
great.
2 weeks ago already. And the first morning we had it was a beautiful morning, and we actually had mosquito bites that morning. It was so warm. And then fairly quickly into the day, we got set up on a gobbler, and he came in to about 80 yards. And, no one will cop to making a bad move, but somebody, I think, moved because that bird putted a couple times and ran off and never, he kept gobbling as he went away. But, it was one of those futile things, you try things like you drop back farther and try calling from a different part in the woods and hope he'll come back. But, he never came back. And that ended up being our only real encounter. And Sunday it rained in the morning and then turned to a blizzard in the afternoon. So that was the youth turkey hunt for us.
Oh, I'm just wondering, we're sectioned into, seven zones, is it? I think something like that. Seven zone management zones, and there's a limited number of tags, of course, offered for each zone. I had put in for number one zone and didn't get one this year. What do you think about Wisconsin's turkey management program, you guys? Tim, do you want to type?
Sure, I'll just start off by saying that I think everything about hunting, and especially with turkey hunting, it's about a quality experience. And what we have here in Wisconsin, we've got those zones, and then we have the time periods, six time periods, so it spreads out the pressure. I've hunted in other states. I was down in Missouri, and those birds, the pressure is so much, they hardly gobble at all. And I think the fact that we are spread out amongst those zones in the time periods, we can have a quality experience. And I, for one, am really pleased with what we have, and I hope we continue it for a long time.
Yeah, and somebody else is going to pipe in.
Yeah, I'm always quick to defend our turkey season because I see people every now and then in the legislature trying to mess with it, and I think it's a wonderful. God, the people who set this up originally did a really great job. They did a lot of work, almost 40 years ago now, structuring the season that we still pretty much follow. So, now we can hunt all day rather than before we had a noon closure. But like Tim said, they spread the pressure out, and now we, I even killed the bird on June 1st a couple of years ago when the season, I think that's the latest the season runs is the June 1st. Depending on how the calendar shakes out. But, that final week we can hunt now in May, originally I did not like it. I thought, why bother? But as time went on, I realized, I have more consistent action in that last week of May than I've had, especially in the middle weeks of the season. So I'm a big fan of our current system.
I think I would agree with you there. The fact that there's not the pressure and not everybody out there at once, like the opening day of the deer season, let's say, as an maybe as an example, would be really does make a big, big difference. Well, here we are in our spring. I wanted to say fall. I had fall in my mind when I was thinking about hunting, but spring is turkey hunting, and spring is also the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Heather Reese joining me again. And as a WPR listener, you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in. And thanks a lot for your support, by the way. Listeners, you as a listener provide the largest share of funding for our programs. And so when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
That's right. And Larry, when eight more people join in the next 40 minutes, we'll meet our goal. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
And why should you give it this moment? Well, because you're listening right now, for one thing, and you're thinking about it right now.
And you'll feel good when you do it. WPR is an important public service, and you'll be making an investment in quality music, entertainment, news, and talk.
And we will use your donation wisely. We put it into programs that you hear every day. So support Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We're talking a lot about becoming a sustainer during this spring member drive, where you set up an ongoing monthly contribution from your bank account or credit card. And here's a nice benefit. As a sustainer, you're automatically entered in member drive drawings.
Except for Heather and myself and anybody else employed at Wisconsin Public Radio. This could be your lucky drive. You have a chance to win $1,000 to spend on bikes, cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. So start your ongoing monthly gifts today. You'll be entered in this drawing and all future drawings when you become a sustainer at WPR.org. And I might say that if you're already a sustainer, you're automatically entered into that drawing.
Introducing the newest addition to your drinkware collection, the WPR Glass Tumbler. Show off your support for WPR while enjoying your favorite beverage from this high-quality 11-ounce glass. Whether it's your morning iced coffee or a relaxing nightcap, add some elegance to the experience when you ask for your WPR Glass Tumbler with your gift of $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. This is the Spring Member Drive. Larry Mueller here with Heather Reese. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift at $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really does have an important impact.
And we have about 40 minutes left in this hour, and we're looking for 8 more people to join in. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
Our programs are listener-powered, and that means that your donation right now really does make a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And today, when you support the WPR programs you love, give the amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $100 a month or more.
And whatever amount you give, it'll support the programs that will enhance your life and give you information and enlightenment and entertainment every day. So give right now. Whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we now have about 35 minutes left in this hour, and we're still looking for those 8 more people to join in. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you might be the lucky person who receives $1,000 to spend on bikes and cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. Enter for your chance to win with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And as I mentioned, sustainers, you know, those who are making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer yet, become one right now. It's easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jeffrey in Green Bay says, WPR gets me through my long work days. What about you? Your gift right now, it's very popular, powerful, and it really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network as we take a look at the outdoor world with our outdoor writers, Dean Bortz, Pat Durkin, and Tim Isley with us. Always great to have them in for a roundtable discussion. I should also mention Clara Neipert's producing today. Trina LaSousa, just back from Japan, is our engineer. And she looks pretty bright-eyed for just being back a day or two. So I'll tell you what, she's doing a good job as we go through the show. And again, you can join us 800-642-1234, email to ideas at WPR.org. Chris in Black Creek has a question or comment. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Larry. Remember my voice? My own voice.
Oh, the turkey guy.
So, but my question today is if your guest is in your studies, I've noticed, you know, like any birds that migrate, the turkey vultures show up at Devil's Lake every year, over 500 of them on the same day. Like they have a time clock or they talk to each other and tell each other to go there. That's all I got, Larry.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, have you ever observed the turkey vultures at Devil's Lake?
Well, I've seen them around southern Wisconsin, that they seem to come back around the same time in March. And it's just like the Sandhill Cranes. Usually, with the weekend of Wisconsin Reeds Leopold, the first weekend in March, that's when we see our first Sandhill Cranes. So there's something about those birds. They're reading the same books we're reading, and that's when they come back.
Some hunters and legislators are pushing for a hunt on sandhill cranes, which is popular with some but very unpopular with other folks here in the state. Pros and cons of a sandhill hunt? Somebody want to grab that? Tim,
I'd be happy to start off, and I think I feel very strongly. I mean, I'm an avid hunter. I got into everything because I hunt, and that's what I do. But I'm very strongly against any type of an effort to start a hunt on sandhill cranes. And I'm also a member of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, and I know that they've surveyed their members which support it, and they're pushing for it. But, you know, I think sandhill cranes are so different, and especially in Wisconsin. Anybody who has read a Sand County Almanac and read about what Leopold wrote about the sandhill cranes, and even their biology, I mean, they only lay, I think, about two eggs, you know, in a nest where you've got ducks that are putting 8 to 10 eggs in a nest. It's a different bird, but the really big thing that makes a difference to me, and I know other people will feel differently, but it is so important that we have hunters and non-hunters to get together to fight those big issues. And I just think it's a wedge that can go in between hunters and non-hunters. We need non-hunters to help us and to join together on the big issues of habitat and in some of the chemicals and the things in the environment that are really hurting wildlife. And I just see it as driving a wedge between the two. And quite frankly, I'm very much against it.
Yeah. Well, Dean, what do you think?
I appreciate Tim's sentiment, but I would not have a problem with having a sandhill crane season in Wisconsin. You go back to the mourning dove work that it took, you know, the work that it took during to get the mourning dove season in place. You know, there are a lot of strong feelings on both sides. Herb Behnke, you know, a long time and probably one of our best natural resources board members ever. He worked behind the scenes a long time to get that in place. And today, as far as I can tell, there's no problem. Nobody really cares now that we have a mourning dove season. And I guess in saying that, I just haven't heard from anybody who's opposed to having a mourning dove season. And this may not be a place to put this argument, but, you know, because I don't always agree with doing what other states do, but the sandhill cranes are hunted in quite a few other states, starting from Minnesota on west. And, you know, I think it's another great hunting opportunity. They are a super bird. You know, we can hunt and trap animals that we admire and, you know, still sustain the population and not have a problem with our other non-hunting folks. So I'm behind the idea. I'm okay with it.
All right, so we got a pro and a con on it, which is always good and interesting to hear. So I want to go back to turkeys for a minute because Roy in Appleton has something relating to turkeys. Let's go there. Hi, Roy.
Hello. Hi. I understand that Minnesota has a tag for those people that hunt archery that lasts for all of their seasons. And, of course, it's controlled by the tag. And did anybody know if there's been any interest or talk about doing that in Wisconsin?
I'm pretty sure
wasn't too many years ago that at the spring hearings, our annual April hearings, they floated the idea of giving archers the whole six-week season. And I believe it got shot down. I can't say that for certain, but I'm pretty sure that didn't fly with most of the hunters.
Yeah, I think you're right on that, Pat, that it hasn't, probably not going to happen. At least, certainly not going to happen next year, for sure. Roy, thanks for calling. Connie in Portage will go to you next. Hi, Connie.
Good morning, Larry. Listen, I have a question. What sport could there possibly be in hunting a crane that can't even get off of the ground to be like hunting a loon? I mean, it takes them how long to get up in the water? How a crane can't even get up, and I just don't understand men. What in God's name could there be a sport in that?
Cranes are very strong flyers. There's no problem with them getting off the ground. They are very strong flyers, and they're very wary. I mean, when you're hunting even ducks and geese and you see them flying around, they're very wary. So I give a lot of credit to Sandhill cranes.
Yeah. So from that point of view, they can fly pretty well. Connie, thanks for calling. You can join in too, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I don't know if we've ever done a program together where CWD didn't come into the mix. Things seem to be getting a little worse. We're finding more, Pat, aren't we? Finding more and more counties that are reporting CWD deer.
Yeah, we're now up to 41 of Wisconsin's 72 counties now have at least one case of confirmed CWD in the wild herd. And I think, in this past gun season, the past fall, I should say, the past sample year, we had, I think, 31 or 32 counties testing positive just in the past few months, within the last 6 months. And it's now been found in Buffalo County. It's been found new additions are in Buffalo County, Winnebago County, Langley County, and I'm missing one more, but it's not going well, and down in the core zone, like down from Iowa County, Dane, Sauk, and Richland. Richland, I keep reminding people that when this was first discovered 20 years ago, Richland County only had one positive, and everybody thought it was kind of a fluke. But by 2010, Richland was starting to take off as far as cases, and one of the sad things, Larry, is this disease seems to spread fastest in the counties with the richest soils, the best, the best woodlots, the best soils, the best fields where we do our agricultural stuff. So when you see it showing up in Buffalo County, which is, as we know, a very famous county nationwide and worldwide for growing big whitetails, it's hard not to be a little pessimistic about the long-range forecast for CWD in Wisconsin.
And, and maybe, Dean, you could correct me if I'm wrong on this, is there doesn't seem to be anything new in the way of, or maybe I'm mistaken here, in the way of what we can do to control it.
Well, no, it sure doesn't seem to be, nothing new on the landscape that I've seen or heard of. We're still dealing with the same disease and I guess if you want to say we're handcuffing ourselves, we've been handcuffing ourselves for, heck, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years on how to deal with it. And I'll give you, Pat mentioned Buffalo County. This is a little bit of an aside. It's still CWD related, but what just happened in Buffalo County over the spring hearing process, a long time heart and soul conservationist. This guy has given and given and given to Buffalo County for many, many years. Mark Knoll of Alma got voted off the Buffalo County Conservation Congress delegation for his distinct, frank, and honest views of CWD and how to manage it. And there's some folks there that who just do not believe that there is any way to manage CWD. They're upset with the idea of surveillance tags. Mark offered his thoughts, and boy, they walked him off the plank, a short plank. And that was just I just thought that was just terrible.
Well, it's unfortunately they're either politically or scientifically even science, we haven't been able to figure out any way to control it that I know of, and.
If I could butt in, Larry.
Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
You know, Northern Illinois, they do not have quite the same woodlots and geography as we have in southwestern Wisconsin. But by aggressively, shooting deer and driving the population down to a lower level, they have kept their herd and CWD under control down there. It's tilting us down in the single digits for prevalence. We're across the border up here in Wisconsin, where we've had a lot of people denying it, and the politicians avoiding any really strong effort to control the disease by shooting deer and driving down their numbers. Ours is running away, getting away from us. And these are tough decisions that people have to make, but the sad thing is, all my life, Larry, from the time I was first hunting, hunters would always say, we need to hunt white-tailed deer because if we don't, they'll overpopulate, they'll get sick, they'll starve. We can't allow them to get diseased like this and start dying off. Well, then CWD comes along, basically, calls our bluff, and we do not, as a group, want to take on that challenge of limiting the herd, controlling its numbers, and keeping the disease at a low rate. We've shown that we really want to see deer, and if it means and bad things for the long-term health of the deer herd, well, I guess that's the way a lot of hunters have chosen to go on this disease, and it's sad to see.
Yeah, it is sad to see. Well, we can talk some more about that as we go along through the show today. Tim Isley, Pat Durkin, and Dean Bortz are outdoor writers with us today, and they're with us during our spring member drive. And Heather Reese snuck back into the studio. No, she's been here all the time. She's been listening carefully as we've been talking here. But she's come back to help me tell you to invest a few minutes of time to support your WPR listening.
Yes, that's right. Listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for programs you count on, programs like The Larry Mueller Show, and that's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And we got about 19 minutes left, and we're looking for just five more people to join in. Thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
This show has always been interesting to me. Our outdoor writers come a few times a year to take a look at what's going on in the world of wildlife, and they don't always agree, as you heard on the show today. They do, though, give you the chance to listen and sort of make up your own mind as you hear the pros and cons of what we were talking about. As it related to some of our bird life, our cranes. And I think having that opportunity to hear their perspectives is important. And I think it can be unique to Wisconsin Public Radio or public radio in general. Here we are, we're listener-supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Just take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
Think about what you spend money on every day. Coffee, takeout, that adds up. It's easy to spend on things that are part of your routine.
It certainly does. And I tell you what, I think you, Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine as well. It's your news source, conversation starter, your place to learn. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day, maybe at $30 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm Eve Robillard. I've been a sustaining member for a long, long, long time, at least 30 years. I grew up in Kewaunee, Wisconsin, and I can remember in 1955, I was in eighth grade, and there was a program from Wisconsin School of the Air that our teacher would nicely put on, and it was called Let's Write.
The recorded Wisconsin School of the Air feature Let's Write. Here's Marie Applegate.
Good morning, boys and girls. Today is Cat Day. Well, you might say today that cats are our purpose. You'll pardon the pun, won't you?
And I got to write a few poems or something. And I still do that once in a while today.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org to get started now.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation during our drive. Larry Mueller with Heather Reese. Your WPR programs, the ones you enjoy, are possible thanks to your support. Maybe your contribution is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it does make a difference.
And when five more people support WPR programs in the next 15 minutes, we'll meet our goal.
Oh, we will?
We will.
Well, I tell you what, we've still got five to go. So if you're one of those people who haven't contributed yet, this would be a good time to do it. And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you to win $1,000 to spend on bikes or cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And sustainers, those who are making the ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered. If you're not a sustainer yet, guess what? You can sign up right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Sherry in Menominee Falls said a nice thing.
She did say a nice thing. Thank you, Sherry. She says, all of the programming is fantastic, but I do have some favorites like Larry Mueller and Central Time, and I believe in supporting all of the programs.
Your gift right now, very important, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Taking a look at the world of wildlife with our outdoor writers, Tim Isley, Dean Bortz, and Pat Durkin. Larry Mueller here. Thanks so much for joining in. Questions or you want to comment on the state of our outdoor environment and our wildlife? I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. You know, the DNR's relationship with the Natural Resources Board has changed over time, and maybe Tim, I'll go to you on that. How do you characterize the current situation between the DNR and the National Resources Board, Natural Resources Board?
Very interesting, Larry, because there have been some very contentious times over the last couple of years between the board and the DNR. And I'll be honest with you that now, what I was at the April board meeting, and what I'm seeing is a big change in this relationship. It used to be very contentious, and it seems to be more now combining and congenial. And as far as there's a new board chairman, Bill Smith, from up in northwest Wisconsin. We have a new DNR secretary, Adam Payne, came from Sheboygan County. And it seems that they have set the tone as far as at least getting along and trying to work together on some of the big problems we have. So it's really, quite frankly, it's refreshing. And I've been very encouraged. And, you know, even there was a something, just a visible change where they used to have the podium when people would be speaking to the Natural Resources Board, the board is set up in a U-shaped tables in the room, and the podium faced the board, and the speakers back faced the public who were sitting out there. They have changed it, and Bill Smith made the announcement. They're trying something new and going back to where the podium is over off to the side. So the speaker speaks to the board as well as the public. I think it brings the public in. I think it's noticeable. So it's really interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see. I'm very impressed. Bill Smith and Adam Payne as secretary. We'll see where things go, but I'm impressed by the change. And it's a big difference.
I'm interviewing Secretary Payne actually on May 10th on the show.
Great.
So we'll look forward to hearing that. Dean or Pat, any comments from you on that?
Yeah, go ahead, Dean.
Well, okay. I was just going to say Jim is the one who's closest to that. I haven't attended an NRB meeting in some time, but Jim has been there just about every month that he's been able to be there. You know, now that they're back again to in person, and but just listening from afar, I think Tim's right. It seems like things have gotten better there as far as the relationship between the DNR leadership and the board leadership. And I think he's right. You know, we can credit Adam Payne and Bill Smith for that.
Yeah, Pat, you were going to add something.
Yeah, I think. You know, we're all old enough now to remember when we had board members like previously. Dean mentioned Herb Behnke, and before him, people like Pete Helland back in the 80s. And we had and going all these decades, you know, leading into more modern times, the thinking was always that the board members who were citizens, they always wanted the DNR to bring the decisions to them. Here's your options. Here's what we recommend, but, you know, here's your options. Well, in recent years, it got more and more, it seemed to me, that the board was basically dictating what the DNR should be doing instead of really accepting the best available science from their advisors in the DNR. And so I'm hoping that, you know, going forward, we'll kind of get back to this, you know, I think the more sensible approach where you have these experts, you know, as, you know, in biology and fisheries and in wildlife, why not let them study the situations, come up with some ideas, some options, and then the board can make the final call. It just seems like a much less controversial and more cooperative way of doing things.
And we should be getting two new board members, should be appointed by the governor within the next 2 weeks, probably. The terms expire May 1st, and we had just two members whose terms expired. So I expect we're going to be getting two new people within the next week or two. So I'll be anxious to hear who they are.
Good comments. Matt in Madison says and kind of relates to this. He feels we've allowed the Natural Resources Management to be hijacked a bit by anti-science folks without experience in wildlife management. And that is, I think, goes along with what you were talking about. All three of you were talking about there, the need for science and then coming up with options and then letting the board make decisions based on the science and the options. And they may find another option, but at least we're working on from a science basis for sure. And here we have the DNR and the Wisconsin Conservation Congress, their hearings for the public to weigh in on a variety of things. Pat, what issues stuck out for you?
Yeah, it's just good timing, Larry. You know, Dean has been working on an article right now recapping the spring hearings, which were held 2 weeks ago now. And this is the fourth straight year of totally online voting. And what really I go through every year for Dean when I do these recaps and basically figure out which questions got the most responses, where people actually offered a yes or a no vote. And it was interesting that the biggest issue this year kind of came out of nowhere. It's about wake boats, these wakeboarders who have these high-powered boats that they have ballast tanks in the stern, and they fill those ballast tanks with a lot of water, sink that stern down, and then it kicks up a big wave behind the boat. Well, it's been causing a lot of problems for shoreline property owners and fellow boaters, and especially on small lakes in northern Wisconsin. And so this year we had six separate questions about wakeboats on the spring questionnaire, and they, like I said, they generated more votes, yes or no, than any other issue out there. And in number two, of course, was we had three options on deer hunting season structures again.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting to see that wakeboats this year jumped up. It wasn't even close, you know, as far as the attention people paid to it.
And we can talk some more about the results from that, because there were some other ones that I thought were kind of interesting. The examination of the October Youth Deer Hunt is one of the things that we can talk with our experts and our writers about as we move along today. But we're getting to the top of the hour. And Heather Reese says, wait a minute, we got to come back and talk about our goals a little bit during our spring member drive. She's been just beating me on the head about it. And our goal is to bring you topics like the environment, like the outdoors, and a whole bunch of other things.
Oh, that's right. I am beating you about the head about it. But, you know, that's my job. So right now we're about 5 minutes left in this hour, and we're looking for just three more people to join in, which it only takes a minute to do that. So we know three of you out there can help us meet our goal. And your gift right now is so important, because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
And, of course, a big thanks if you've already given. But if you haven't, the time would be right now so we can meet our goal, among other things, and help us out at WPR.org. Just go there, WPR.org, or phone 888-202-2552.
And in this last segment here, Larry, we've been talking with some of your regular outdoor author guests and talking a little bit about what's happening with the Natural Resources Board and Conservation Congress. And that's something you don't hear in a lot of other places. Mm-hmm. And it's unique information that you get right here at WPR. And WPR is listener supported. That means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours like this possible.
This member drive, you know, we can toast. I saw a term toast, and I thought, well, wait a minute. I had some toast this morning for breakfast, but that's a different toast.
That's different.
We've got a tumbler you can toast, and Tom Lujack, by the way, promised me he'd have one of those tumblers here in the studio this morning so I could look at it, and it's not here.
I don't see it.
But I'm told it's a very elegant glass. It features I guess it's got a sound wave design, a shout out to your favorite station. So start preparing your favorite beverage and ask for the tumbler when you give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, I'm Marielle Segarra, host of NPR's Life Kit. When you give a gift, it can feel even better than being the recipient, because you get the joy of knowing you made someone's day or improved their life in some small way. Oh, by the way, if you're in the gift-giving mood, make a donation to your NPR station today.
Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. In our spring member drive, Larry Mueller with Heather Reese. Listener support's the biggest source of our funding, and that's why your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does have an important impact. And we're getting to the top of the hour, and we still have one to go.
Just one to go.
One more
so
person.
Thank you if you've already given, and if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make Larry and I very happy if we meet our goal.
At WPR, you get to choose how much to give. Any amount makes a difference. But here are some suggestions. the amount you might pay for Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus or HBO Max.
Or your daily coffee, which, like WPR, is probably something you look forward to. Give now. You choose the amount. Your gift makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here we are. We're coming up to the top of the hour, and we are looking for at least one more. I'd love to have two more, but why don't you be the next one to call in with a contribution and get us over the top with our 15 contributors during this hour. You make WPR possible with your gifts. And believe me, we really appreciate the gifts. And we love hosting this show and having a chance to talk with such a broad range of people about a wide range of topics every single day on the show. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to to everybody here. And I hope it means something to you. If you haven't given yet, why not do it now? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And we'll be back right after this quick look at the news. You stay with us. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at the great outdoors today on the show with our three guests, our outdoor writers, and great writers and great people. Tim Isley, freelance outdoor writer, one of the founding members of the Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Association. Dean Bortz, editor of one of my favorite publications, Wisconsin Outdoor News. And Pat Durkin, who contributes to Wisconsin Outdoor News, but he's a freelance writer, editor, president of the Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Association. So if you have a wildlife question or a topic on your mind, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. And since we had something, Jean from Portage was waiting a long time but then had to leave. But she was wondering about a lifetime fishing license. Why can't we get a lifetime fishing license? Maybe if you're over a certain age.
They used to have that in Wisconsin. And I think one of the reasons is that then, because of money and because of the way that we get some of the federal excise taxes back, PRDJ funds, then you've only sold it once. You don't sell it every year. So I think that's one of the reasons, Larry, is that it reduces the number of licenses that are sold every year, and it would reduce the federal funds coming back to the state, I think.
Yeah, I think that makes really good sense. Jeff in Superior has something for us. Let's go there. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Beautiful day up here in Superior. We got 48, almost 50 degrees here.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it's beautiful, bright sunshine. It really helps nature, spread its wings. I have recently visited Patterson State Park, and we're looking forward to a new season of tourists coming and cleaning up and fixing up after the storms. But I wanted to share an idea that I think would, and I'm talking to my elected representatives about this too, I think we could endow certain state parks and get a state legislature dispensation for that. For example, if people pass and they want to leave money to Patterson State Park to give an endowment so that when storms occur, that the money's there that the superintendent can use to fix and clean up rather than waiting for the state legislature to appropriate the money. That's one idea. And I did want to share one of my family members, my mother's cousin. She is an author who did the Ice Age Trail and wrote a book about it, and she recently got a grant to put all of her books in libraries across Wisconsin, and she tells the story of Whiskers. He's a cat that lives in the rotunda in Madison, Wisconsin. So, I mean, we are involved in the state in our family, and we just love Wisconsin and the resources we have here. So,
Jeff, thank you so much. Well, what do you guys think about Jeff's idea about endowing? Dean, maybe I go to you first.
That's a great idea. I don't know that has ever been Well, obviously Jeff has brought it up, but prior to Jeff, I don't think I've ever heard about anything like that. The closest being the friends groups that exist for not just the state parks, but other public properties as well. I'm not sure why it couldn't be done. I think it would be a great idea.
Yeah, I do as well. Any comment from you, Pat?
Not really. One of the things, getting back a little bit to our Conservation Congress hearings, one of the great things about our system in Wisconsin, it's sometimes people don't like some of the ideas that come out of the Congress and don't think they have a voice. But when you look at this process we do every year, there's some good ideas that come up from the public and in the form of resolutions that go through a process, and a lot of them don't make it all the way through. But those kind of ideas, you got to like a system that encourages that and keeps people involved and at least willing to give people a fair shake on listening to their ideas. So that one, that was like, I'm with Dean. I hadn't heard that before, but it sounds like a great idea.
Sumner emailed us, wondering if you guys could recommend any books on Wisconsin's conservation history or otherwise. I know you've got a favorite, Dean, or at least one that you wanted to mention. I think it was Pat that had that.
Yeah, but I'll add one that Pat probably isn't going to mention. Pat, you're not working on this one. I think Dan's working on this one. We have three new books in the state. Pat's going to mention one of them. I'll mention another one, and I'm not going to be able to remember what the third one was. But one is a muskie fishing book by Mike Lyga, L-Y-G-A, out of the De Pere area. So Mike has a book. I think it's actually his second book about muskie fishing, and it's a good book. Mike's a good writer, and then Pat, you want to go ahead with the one that you're going to talk about?
Well, as far as history type books, I have these books on my desk. I've had them now for basically all my adult life that I inherited from my grandfather. One's Dahlberg's book on whitetail deer in Wisconsin. There's another one by Otis Bursing, A Century Wisconsin Deer. And Bursing also did a book on bull hunting in Wisconsin. These were all written back in between the 40s and the 60s. So there's some great history in those three books. Also, a book I'm reading right now is Wrong Tree by Jeff Wilson, this retired DNR wildlife technician. I think, I hope I'm not getting Jeff's last name wrong, but
it's right. It's Jeff Wilson. Yeah.
Thank you. It's a wonderful book. I Larry, I get people sending me books all the time, and so often they don't really leave a mark on me. And cause I started reading Jeff's, and it's one fascinating story after another of things like setting traps for various problem beavers, and then one time a trout fisherman somehow a trout fisherman got his foot and leg into this trap, who knows, but it ended up being just a fascinating, funny story about what this the guy tried suing the DNR over it, and eventually he got thrown out of court. And Jess has these great stories about almost getting killed out on the Turtle Flambeau Flowage on various expeditions he's working on, and climbing trees to go after to help tag bald eagles and their fledglings, and he and his wife Terry Dalton just have led a fascinating life, and I can't say enough about how much I'm enjoying their book.
I've got Jeff scheduled for the show. As a matter of fact, it's not until June 28th, but he will be on to talk about his book Wrong Tree, and that's I'm looking forward to that, and I've read some too. Some really funny pieces in it. Tim's got a book or two he wanted to recommend.
Well, there's a couple of good books. There's a couple that I'm looking forward to reading. I just got, of course, Jeff Nania, a friend who came out with his another new book called Musky Run, A Northern Lakes Mystery. And Jeff is just such a great writer, and you read about northern Wisconsin and the resources, and he's really good. And I haven't read it yet, so I just got it. And there's another one, From Barbels to Spruce Grouse by Joe Hovell. Talks about a journey in land conservation, and I'm looking forward to that. But when you talk about land conservation, one that I've just finishing, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard about it, but Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. You know, I think it's so interesting. She talks about the Native Americans and how they looked at land as a gift, where we look at it as a commodity. And then she makes the point of, when we buy land now, we buy it as a bundle of rights. She said what they looked at, the natives, as a bundle of responsibilities. I think that is so important to anybody who owns land and trying to manage it and leave it better than the way before. Braiding Sweetgrass is one that I definitely recommend. Really good.
So those are our three dandy, several, not more than three, actually. There we have a dozen there. So thanks, guys, for having those ideas for us on books. Chris in Milwaukee has a question or comment. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. We have land out in the Kickapoo Valley. We have a pristine trout stream, but we bought the land so it would be there for the children and great children that come after. And the Mississippi Nature Conservancy has been working at this, but the DNR has the ability to stop huge pig farms and huge cattle farms in the upper Kickapoo that have been okayed. And when I questioned the past head of the DNR, why didn't you stop that? He said, well, they came in just under the number of hogs you could have, so we couldn't say no. That has to change, or we are going to have our water and our wonderful land polluted. It would pollute all the way down to the Mississippi, to the end of the state.
Tim, comment?
Sure. We have land in Crawford County, and I agree with her concern. And the problem are CAFOs. And quite frankly, I don't think the DNR has the ability to turn down some of those things. I think the problem goes back to the legislators. You've got to get to the legislators to change some of these laws and to allow the DNR to put more clamps on these huge industrial farms. Small family farms are wonderful, but it's these huge industrial farms that are putting out industrial pollution and are endangering the land and the water. I agree with you.
Chris, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I do want to go back because to the Congress hearings, because the public rejected the expansion of the October youth deer hunt. And which was kind of a surprise to me.
Not to me, Larry. This is Pat again.
Yeah.
It was a fairly close vote as things go. But at the same time, on a related question, the same group of people supported expanding the youth turkey hunt to 4 days, but they rejected expanding the deer hunt to 4 days. And there's always, I don't know what it is, one of my little expressions I often have, Larry, is that deer make people stupid. We do not just look, deer, for some reason, we just get this ownership we seem to have over deer. We always talk in terms of my deer, my buck. And you don't hear people say, I'm going to go out and get my turkey, or I shot my turkey. There's just something where we have this ownership over deer that I think clouds our judgment. And I've always heard people complaining about that youth deer hunt and not liking the idea that kids are getting out there able to hunt with a gun before the rest of us can. So I guess I wasn't surprised to see that one.
It caught me a little by surprise, and I'm... you gave a good answer as to why it probably happened that way. Well, here we are. You know, it's always fun, Tim, Dean, and Patrick, to have you guys come by. And I really appreciate it. And I know you're going to be doing it again with us. So thank you, all three of you, so much for spending some time with us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
It was fun.
Tim Isley, freelance outdoor writer, who was one of the founding members of the Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Association. Dean Bortz, the editor of Wisconsin Outdoor News, and Pat Durkin, freelance writer, editor, and president of Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Association, our guest today on the show during our spring member drive. Heather Reese has come back, and she wants to tell you what, Heather, you should be with me every day. We went over the top on our, we had a goal of 15, and we beat it.
We did, absolutely. We got all the way to 16 people, so that counts, and we'll take it.
Oh, man, and I tell you what, it's a goal. We have these goals all the time, and the reason we have goals is to make sure that we'll all be in a good position to pay for this show in the months to come. And so we probably have a new goal. Do we have a new goal? Yeah, we do.
We do. We do have a new goal. Our goal for between now and 1 o'clock is 15, but we've already have two gifts in. So 13 more to go. Before 1 o'clock.
Let's meet that goal. It happens one gift at a time. And let's start with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And some of your regular guests, Larry, are physical therapist Jill Tyne Nissenbaum, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you can check with me. You're going to check me on all of these names here. Lori Tyne Brody, who helps us with our aches and pains. Both of them do. Scott Craven, of course, who's happy to speculate on your wildlife sightings. The weather guys, Steve Ackerman and John Martin. And consumer protection expert Michelle Reinen.
Reinen, yes. They cover topics that, and it's something that we try to do on this show. They cover topics that are part of your everyday life, and they give good advice. They have great ideas, and because you've come to trust and appreciate guests like them, I hope you'll support the program with your dollars. Easy to do. Just go to WPR.org, or you can phone. Number's 888-202-2552, and make your contribution.
And this member drive, ask for your new WPR glass tumbler. Whether it's for your morning orange juice or an evening cocktail, this elegant glass will be your new go-to. And so make room in your drinkware cabinet and ask for your WPR glass tumbler. And if you want to, it is sharp looking. If you want to see what it looks like, you can go to WPR.org and give your gift of $12 a month or more. Check out that tumbler and make your donation. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
I'm going to see that tumbler. Well, I'll get one because I'm a donor and I donate more than $12 a month.
You're a sustainer, right?
I'm going to get one regardless. Someday I'll get to see it and I might even maybe put a good Wisconsin beer in it and drink it.
That sounds like a plan. That sounds like a great plan, and I think a lot of people would want to join you.
I'd be happy to have every listener come and join me with that. I mean, we got a great community here, and, you know, as you think about why do I listen, I think you have a strong sense of what it means to be from Wisconsin. You have a strong sense of community, and I think chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sort of sense of identity and sense of community. And here we are. We've got a sort of a statewide. We serve the entire state.
We absolutely do. And on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news, voices, music, and sounds from around the state, including a turkey call we heard not that long ago from a caller. So over time, all of these broadcasts add up to a strong sense of connection to the state we call home.
Yeah, it's a home we all share. And it's funded, Wisconsin Public Radio, that is, by, in large part by listeners. So give now. If you haven't given yet, do it right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And thank you for spending time with Wisconsin Public Radio today. Whether you found us by scanning the dial or a friend of yours recommended the great programs that Larry provides here in the middle of the day, you're still tuned in because you like what you hear.
And because you like what you hear, I hope you'll help pay for the listening that you enjoy. You choose the amount. Maybe it's $100 or maybe it's $10 a month. whatever amount is right for you is a great starting point. Why not become our next donor? You can do it right now. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I'm Marielle Segarra, the host of NPR's Life Kit. It's our job to find experts and share their takeaways to help you with, well, anything.
We found someone who told us about a technique that actually involves doodling your dread.
It's not about them being steps upwards or stages or boxes to check.
Pizza does reheat well. Just put it into the skillet and just kind of crisp up the bottom. And it's kind of like you just got it brand new. Just cover it up, some melt the cheese, and it's actually pretty dope.
If you've changed a behavior, formed a positive habit, or approached a problem differently because of something you've heard on this station, make a donation today.
That's right. It's easy to do as well. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Heather Reese. Your support during our drive makes the programs you rely on possible, and your gift, 10, 20 bucks a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine, like a cup of coffee or your favorite snack.
Consider the news, the information, and the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR, and then maybe a dollar a day is right, 30 bucks a month, or maybe that's just the right donation for you. You can sign up right now, whatever the amount you choose, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and support programs you enjoy every day.
And so as we've been saying, the little things we spend money on every day all add up. And I'd like to see where folks are getting a dollar cup of coffee, actually, but that's fine. So maybe you buy a morning coffee or a bag of chips to add to your lunch and to get you through the afternoon, and you can easily spend $20 a month on small expenses. But they're an important part of your day.
And so is listening to WPR, like the money you spend on a well-deserved treat. Make your gift of 20 bucks a month now for the programs that enrich your daily life at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Are we doing any good?
Are we doing any good? 12 more people, so we've gotten at least one in since we started talking here.
We got more than that. We'll get more than that. And here we are. You know, we're right up to the time when we have to go away, but others will come in probably and talk. I want to thank you very much if you've contributed already to Wisconsin Public Radio. Heather loves her job. I love my job. Our whole team here enjoys having a chance to serve you. And I hope that you can find it in your heart to help us out with a little financial support. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution right now. From Heather Reese and myself, Larry Mueller, thank you so much for listening, and stay with us. Chapter Day next on the Ideas Network.